I'm happy to be back in Rodadish after 20 days. You don't find such a easily in such a wonderful atmosphere like in Rodadish in many places. This is a very special community. In some places you have morning program, 3-4 people. And so it's very nice here. So we are having every Tuesday during the school year, we are having topical classes. During the first term, we discussed the topical classes are actually part of the study program for the students. And then also the community also welcomes that we discuss specific topics. And we did during the first term, we discussed the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and specifically also Panchanga Bhakti, the five powerful processes of devotional service, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity of the Lord, association with devotees, and living in a holy place. Then, during the second term, we discussed what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls secondary duties, which are not less important, in that they support the primary duties of pure devotional service, direct devotional service. We discussed Varnashram Dharma, social and religious moral responsibility, austerities of the body, the speech and the mind, and few other topics, similar topics. And we are still discussing, there are many of these principles, and today we are going to discuss the essential items of knowledge as described in Bhagavad Gita, and also in one of the purports of Sri Upanishad. Srila Prabhupada explains these processes of knowledge or the components. I don't know if components, I think it's too a word too mechanical, but I did like the idea of components because it is related to a spiritual technology. We're living in the times of technology. Even I was surprised to see in Vrindavan the Bon Maharaj's institute. Now it's an engineering institute. So everything has become very technological. So I thought components indicates that the process of devotional service is a science, and we need to have all the elements in place. Otherwise, if the elements are not in place, things will not work properly. We will not be able to succeed in our desired goal. His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu spoke about this topic. I wasn't present, I was in Spain, but was during the last week of the previous term. But because it is important, we discuss it from different perspectives. So I will read, I gave you these sheets. I don't know if there are enough for everybody. If not, please share with a friend. And I gave it to you. We will discuss briefly, and then we want to take a few minutes to personally reflect, to do individual reflection on where are we at in applying these principles. So this is there is the translation of a series of verses in chapter 13 in Bhagavad Gita, verses 8 to 12. Can you give me the Bhagavad Gita? Because the translation reads, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All this I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So I chose to read the translation and purport of text 10 in Sri Upanishad, because Srila Prabhupada refers to these principles in a very concise way. He's explaining each of these principles. Anjate vahur vidyaya anjata hur avidyaya iti shushru madiranam yenastat vicha chakshire. The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations. This is a very relevant verse, because in modern days the secular way of thinking is that you have your opinion, I have my opinion, and both opinions are equally good. Oh, this is good for you, this is good for me. There is a tendency to think in this way. The Sri Upanishad is explaining that it is not everything is the same. It is not that everything that seems to be knowledge is knowledge. According to the definition given in Bhagavad Gita and in Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, knowledge must include these essential components. Otherwise, it may be ignorance which is presented as knowledge. Of course, any type of information, or I'm distinguishing between knowledge and information, any type of information, it can be knowledge if applied in the line of these principles described in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada is the example of the zeros. If we have a zero located to the left, this is a Spanish expression, like, so when something is not valuable, it is like a zero located to the left. So if I say, I like you very much, I want to give you a donation, and then I give you a check, and I write one, and I will give you a check with many zeros. Of course, if I will give it to you, you will not get much, because I don't have much. But if we assume that someone has money and says, okay, I give you one check with many zeros, and then I write one, and then zero, 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 to the left. So what is the value of such a donation? So similarly, the zeros are valuable, but the zeros must be located in the proper place. Then they are very, very useful. We should not undermine. In previously in our movement, also we undermined knowledge and education. And we thought, okay, only I chant Hare Krishna, I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to become cultured. And then it is fine. Then I have everything because I have Krishna. And it is true if we really have Krishna. But if we don't have Krishna, and we, and in addition, we pretend to, we don't have culture, I mean, we don't have Krishna, we don't have culture, then it becomes even worse. So the idea is that the zeros should be properly, properly located, and they are very useful. So Srila Prabhupada explains there are 20 principles mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita verses we just read. And now we will read Srila Prabhupada's explanation to these 20 principles. If we look in the purport to Sri Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada numbers them into 18. So 18 because the last four are classified at the end. So number 17 coincides with numbers 17 and 18, and number 18 matches number 19 and 20 in the Bhagavad Gita verses. Is it clear? We will see it now when we read. So Srila Prabhupada writes, as advised in chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita, one should cultivate knowledge in the following way. 1. One should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. So this will be Srila Prabhupada's explanation for humility. Humility, amanitvam. In the Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should not be eager to receive honor from others. So here he says, one should offer respect to others. This is also mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the third verse of Shikshastaka. Trinatapi sunichena tarori vacha kishnuna amani namanadena kirtaniya sadakari. One should become humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer respect to others, and not expecting any respect for oneself. Number 2, one should not boast himself as a religionist, simply for name and fame. Amanitvam adambitvam, pridelessness. So it is the same principle, but it is so important that it is looked from another perspective. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to Bhagavad Gita that we should not follow a false system of religion for the sake of receiving respect. This could be applied also in our Krishna consciousness movement. If we follow the activities within the movement in an ecclesiastical spirit, meaning ecclesiastical, only looking at the externals, but not going into the principles of pure devotional service. And particularly if we use the ecclesiastical facilities, we could say, to get artificial respect. So this is a principle to take into consideration. This will be also, we have to look, of course I don't mean by this etiquette, proper etiquette should be observed, but then we should look at what's within our heart in terms of wanting to receive respect as opposed to be willing to offer respect to others. So this principle is there. One should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame, meaning which we should search for authenticity in our practice of devotional service in the Krishna consciousness movement. Number three, non-violence. One should not become a source of anxiety to others by the actions of his body, by the thoughts of his mind, or by his words. Srila Prabhupada explains that we should not just avoid physical violence. Sometimes we think ahimsa means not to harm anybody physically. But actually Srila Prabhupada says that even to create anxiety to someone mentally by our behavior, this is also violence. So we should be sensitive to other persons and avoid, to the best of our ability, avoid harming them. Our intention should be how to benefit others. Number four, tolerance. One should learn forbearance even in the face of provocation from others. To be tolerant when things are going well is not so difficult, but when there is provocation, then this is a good opportunity to practice this principle. We should see that other persons, first we should see that they may be right. They say something. What is there? Is there any truth in what they are saying? Even if it seems outrageous what they are saying about us, to us it sounds like it is something very extreme and it doesn't match reality. But we should look, okay, why this person is perceiving me in this way? The easiest answer would be to say, oh, the person is just envious. Isn't it? We say, that person is envious. That's the easy way to reply. But then we should see, okay, what is that person seeing in me? There must be something I'm doing that makes that person feel in this way. At least we should examine whether the person is envious or not. That's a different matter. But at least I should examine what's inside me. So, and then also we should see in the case that we still think that we don't need to rectify anything if we think like that, or we think, okay, it's not accurate, it doesn't match reality. Still, we should see that the person is acting as an instrument of the Lord to give us perhaps some reactions related to some activities sinful activities we performed in the past. Perhaps there is something we need to learn, or we don't need to know. Sometimes Krishna has a plan and we just need to accept Krishna's plan and to serve him to the best of our ability in such circumstance. And then the idea of being tolerant, the principle of being tolerant is very useful, actually. And actually, the idea of happiness and distress, sometimes when we are criticized, it may be also an occasion to feel joy about being criticized. Of course, we don't do that too often, but feel like that. But if someone criticizes us, why not to feel joy that someone is seeing something? Sometimes people praise us too much, so it's good that someone criticizes us, then it becomes a little balance. okay, we may say, generally people don't praise me so much, but the devotees, they are kind, and they do praise us, isn't it? It's not true that? Don't you get some praise sometimes? Or? Otherwise, you take the communications course, and then there you will get it. Little propaganda college. So, okay, next, simplicity. Wow. I will go faster now because I wanted to do a little reflection, personal reflection. One should learn to avoid duplicity in his dealings with others. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita Purport to these verses that we should be straightforward in dealings and be able to reveal the truth even to an enemy. Even an enemy comes, we're able to say the truth in a respectful manner. Then approaching a bona fide spiritual master. One should search out a bona fide spiritual master who can lead him gradually to the stage of a spiritual realization, and one must submit himself to such a spiritual master, render him service, and ask relevant questions. So that's clear. To knowledge means to understand that I don't know. His Grace Krishna Kshetra Prabhu explained once, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he explained how the more one studies, like studying in Oxford and doing more postdoctoral research and so on, the more one studies, the more one realizes how little we know. So the idea of approaching a spiritual master is a very important element of knowledge. To approach someone who knows more than I and who can help me to approach the Lord. Cleanliness. And it's interesting here, it doesn't seem to fully match, but it's Srila Prabhupada's explanation in Ishopanishad. But it's related, looking at the other elements, it is related. In order to approach the platform of self-realization, one must follow the regulative principles enjoined in the revealed scriptures. And this implies external cleanliness, like in deity worship we need external cleanliness, which should be clean to come to the temple, and also internal cleanliness, chanting a prescribed number of rounds and different principles, which are these elements, these regulative principles we need to follow in order to become clean. Steadiness. 8. One must be fixed in the tenets of the revealed scriptures. Then self-control. One should completely refrain from practices which are detrimental to the interest of self-realization. So that's self-control, avoiding things which are harmful to serve Krishna, and also to the welfare of other members of society. Renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. One should not accept more than he requires for the maintenance of the body. So that's the idea of renunciation is not to have less than one needs, but to have just what one needs. No more, no less. Absence of false ego. That's 11. One should not falsely identify himself with the gross material body, nor should one consider those who are related to his body to be his own. The perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, number 12. One should always remember that as long as he has a material body, he must face the miseries of repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. There is no use in making plans to get rid of these miseries of the material body. The best course is to find out the means by which one may regain his spiritual identity. Then number 13. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me, Krishna says. And this is... Detachment. Detachment. One should not be attached to more than the necessities of life required for spiritual advancement. Number 14. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. Srila Prabhupada explains that one, that does not mean that one should not have affection for them, but if they do not support one in devotional service, one should not be over attached to them. Prabhupada writes here, one should not be more attached to wife, children, and home than the revealed scriptures ordain. Number 15, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. One should not be happy or distressed over desirables and undesirables, knowing that such feelings are just created by the mind. 16. Constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. One should become an unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and serve him with rapt attention. 17. Aspiring to live in a solitary place. One should develop a liking for residence in a secluded place with a calm and quiet atmosphere, favorable for a spiritual culture, and one should avoid congested places where non-devotees congregate. So this is the idea, is to avoid asat sangha, materialistic association. And then we are now in 18, is that correct? Detachment from the general mass of people. So this is put together in number 17. It's included in Srila Prabhupada's explanation in Sri Upanishad. And then the last two, it's number 18. Accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. One should become a scientist or philosopher and conduct research into spiritual knowledge, recognizing that spiritual knowledge is permanent, whereas material knowledge ends with the death of the body. In the purport to the Bhagavad Gita verses, Srila Prabhupada says that we should make a test to see where we are at in applying these principles, to understand how much knowledge we have. So I'd like to take 5 minutes individually. Everyone can take 5 minutes. If you have a pen, that's better. You can write. If not, you can do it mentally, or share the pen with your friend next to you who has a pen. It's good to bring something to write during the topical classes on Tuesdays. Sometimes we do this. So the idea is to If you can look at the at this 18-20 components of knowledge and examine yourself, how do you see you are applying this specific principle? And the idea, you can rate yourself from 1 to 5. I'm going to write what it means. 1 will be very poor, 2 poor, 3 will be average, adequate, you could say, okay, it's fine, fair. 4 will be good, 5 excellent. Okay, so you take 5 minutes and you examine yourself. Where am I? Am I at applying this principle?
Each principle.
So, like for example, humility. Okay, one should become a perfect gentleman or a lady and learn to give proper respect to others. So, what I'm doing about that? 5, really 5 in this extra. So please take a few minutes for that. Well, you have to decide. Okay, if it's artificial, then it's not real, no? Isn't it? When we say, if it's, it means I'm not yet there. If I consider I'm doing this, but it's a bit artificial, so I may say, okay, I give me, that's very subjective, but I give me 3 or 2 or... Please don't speak. It's individual reflection. Later you will have some minutes to speak. I'm not sure if you had time to do everything. Probably some of you are missing. But okay, you can continue after class on your personal reflection time. And now perhaps you can share in pairs and discuss something that struck you, like saying, okay, I didn't realize how bad I was in that. Not bad, but how much I need to improve in that, or how good I feel I'm doing on that. So please discuss a little bit, can be this question or anything you feel like sharing with a devotee friend. If someone is alone, you can join a pair. If so, our time is up, but with Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu's permission, I take one or two comments or questions.
I usually I can delayed reaction to things. Like, for instance, if something, if I'm not very forbearing, then after some time I can be philosophical about it, but it doesn't, like, my natural response is to be disturbed. So, what
if that's okay, you mean? Or?
Well, okay, I know, but is it like, it's hard to judge because I may not immediately be very forbearing or very even-minded, but after some time the philosophical thing kicks in.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
Yes, I guess we can apply the principle better late than never, so... But I will say also that it's natural that when someone tells us something, like recently someone wrote me an email, and he said, like, really, was quite nasty mood, like, and he said, I want to post this in Facebook. And the first reaction is, well, why you say this? This is nonsense, and to become upset about it. But then, okay, we reflect on it. If it's something by email, experts advise to wait. If you write a reply, don't send it immediately. Wait 24 hours. Then you read it again, and then okay. Then. And also, it's better when there is a conflict, personal conflict. Do not respond immediately. It's good. That's the motto of goodness. First think, then act. So I guess it's natural to get when someone does something to take more time. If, like, in case someone is very advanced, like Sri Nityananda Prabhu, then they can react on the spot immediately, and they can give love. Because they are feeling so much love, they can give it immediately, even though they are mistreated and in a very bad way. One last point. Yes, because your point is very valid that it is, we shouldn't just do it externally, but we should do it in a conscious way. Like we find in the Upadeshamrita, there is a description of, there are six principles which will make one to fall from the path of devotional service. One of them is Niyamagraha. And Niyamagraha has a double meaning. One meaning is to not follow the principles given in the scripture, the principles of devotional service. And the second meaning is to follow for the sake of following without being conscious of what I'm doing. So it's important to... The internal steadiness naturally produces the external steadiness. External steadiness does not guarantee the internal one. Of course, we know that the external practices gradually bring us to the level of realization. So we should do it endeavoring to do it well, with proper consciousness. Any comments on that? You'd like to comment?
Thank you.
sorry, I'm a bit deaf. I will speak very sweetly, so it's accept more, and the other should not be attached to more. They are very much related, and this will match. Is that detachment one of them? So I guess it is like the sannyas and tyaga in Bhagavad Gita, no? Sannyas, to renounce. I don't know if it's the same exactly, but it will be related. One is to renounce the activities which are born from material desire, and the other will be to be detached, the detachment to the fruits of action. They are very much related. So next week we will have one student. I will not put him or her on the spot because we didn't discuss. But one student will speak more on these topics. We are doing every week, every other week, a tutor speaks, and then the next week a student makes a presentation related to the theme we discuss. So we will announce who will be the student. I have someone in mind, but I will not announce it here. It's too soon. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.